Numbers chapter 10, look if you would at verse 29. It says, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto a place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will he do unto thee." Now, this book, or the Bible, is a book of invitations. There are invitations going all the way from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And God is continually inviting his people to join him in what he's doing and where he's going. And by the way, the great blessing to me is that God would invite me to join him in anything he does. I mean, because, I mean, after all, who am I that the Lord would invite me? And who are you that the Lord invites you to do anything with him? Amen? I mean, if we got what we deserved, we would all just be in hell today. Okay? But the Lord has always given invitations to men, and he'll continue to do that. In fact, some of the invitations that we're going to look at later on are future invitations. But he's always been given invitations. And what we did is we began by looking at the different invitations given in the Bible. And some things about those invitations are pretty interesting. Number one, they're all very important. All of them are invitations also to escape, or nearly all of them are invitations to escape God's judgment. Also, with every invitation that God gives, there are blessings if one takes him up on that invitation. But there are consequences if somebody decides not to take him up on the invitation. Also, almost all the invitations God gives has the word come in it somewhere. You'll see that word come. And so first we looked at how God told Noah and his family to get inside the ark so that they would not die when God judged the man and this earth by flooding it with water. That was the first invitation that God had ever given that was recorded in Scripture, where the words come was in that invitation. And then last week we saw how God in Isaiah chapter 1 said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Certainly that was another invitation. Now, in the passage tonight, we see another great invitation. And though this invitation is actually given by Moses, it is a type of the invitation that God gives to everybody. And when we look at these verses, we'll notice tonight that right off the bat that Moses is talking to a man named Hobab. Now, there is some dispute over who this man is. Some think that he is Moses' brother-in-law. Others think Hobab is another name for Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. But I will have you look there again in Numbers chapter 10. And I want you to look back at verse 29. And notice it says this, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law." Okay, so that means that if you read nothing more right there, there's only two possibilities of Moses' father-in-law being there, and either that's Raguel the Midianite or Hobab, okay? And so some people say that it's his brother-in-law, some people say it's his father-in-law. You know, I'm not going to get into the argument of that tonight, and I'm not going to show you all the scriptures to compare with, although that's a great Bible study. But I will let's just do this tonight. Let's just consider him a man named Hobab. How's that? That way we don't have to worry about getting into all that. And so this Hobab here is the person who's getting the invitation. Now in this passage here, Israel is leaving their encampment at the foot of Mount Sinai. And while they're there, they receive the law. They built a tabernacle. They learn how to worship the Lord. But now they're breaking camp and they're heading towards Canaan. But before they leave, Moses here takes the time to invite Hobab to go with them to their destination. And so really, this is an invitation of companionship. In other words, he wanted them to be a companion of Israel and to get in on what Israel was doing and where Israel was going. And so that was the basis of the whole invitation here. And I want you to notice tonight the details of this invitation as given, because when we look at the invitation that Moses gave to Hobab, what you're going to see is that really that invitation is really a type of the invitation that God has given us and that we should be given to other people, okay? And so I want to look at this invitation tonight. And the first thing I want you to notice about this invitation that Moses gave to Hobab is that this invitation involved going to a special place. It involved going to a special place. Look at verse 29 again. It says, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you, come thou with us." Now, we know that God promised the nation of Israel the land of Canaan. And by the way, that land still belongs to Israel to this day, okay? Now, I know there's a lot of dispute over that in the world today, but, you know, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar, okay? And if that Bible says that land's theirs, well, then that land's theirs, okay? And I will say this, too, that if you start going back and you study your Bible and you look at the Old Testament, because it was very, the Bible is very specific in much of what it says. And one of the things it's very specific about is it gives you exactly where those borders are for the land that God promised Israel. And the land that Israel's in right now is only a fraction of what's actually theirs. When you start looking at the borders and everything of what's actually the land of Canaan, what actually belongs to Israel today, it is far larger than what Israel is today, the nation of Israel in that land. The nation of Israel today, if you look on a map, it's about the size of Rhode Island. But if you look at it, if you look at the borders that is given in the Bible, it takes up a lot of space, okay? It's very, very large. But God promised that land to Israel, and so now these people, Moses and the children of Israel, are getting ready to, they're leaving Mount Sinai, and they're going to the land of Canaan. Now, this land that God promised Israel is known as a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a country that God had given for his redeemed people. We know that when they sent the spies in, yes, they talked about the bad things, the giants that lived there, and we know how it worked out with the spies. Only two of them came back with a positive thing, and those were the only two they were allowed to live, okay, because they're the only ones who trusted God to give them the victory, and that's Caleb and Joshua. But, you know, not only was there a feedback that was given about there being giants in land, but they also talked about how big the grapes were, okay, and how it took like two people carrying the stave with grapes just to haul them from one place to another. And it was a land of plenty. It was a land that would supply Israel of everything that they needed. And God had promised them that land. In fact, he had promised Abraham that land. And it would be a land where his people would forever call home. And when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, God was not only bringing them out of bondage, but he was also leading them to a place of blessing. And really, if you think about it, you know, sometimes we hear people sing songs about, you know, when a person dies, they cross over the River Jordan, you know, stuff like that. But in reality, if you think about it, the land of Canaan today is a picture of the life that God wants you to live as a Christian. In other words, you know, if we're in fellowship with the Lord, we will be having a joy unspeakable, full of glory. We'll have peace. When we put our faith in the Lord and we obey him, then we're, as Christians, we're going to live the life that God wants us to live as Christians, to where we're in fellowship with the Lord, where it doesn't matter how bad things are on the inside, on the outside, but on the inside, we have that peace. That is what the land of Canaan really represents in life. You say, well, then what was salvation represented by? That was a type of the children of Israel being led out of Egypt. And by the way, they were led out of Egypt. The last thing that was done was the blood was put on the doorpost. May I tell you, it's by the blood you were led out of bondage as well. That's how you got saved. But now that once Israel got led out of that bondage, then the Lord wanted them to go and go into the promised land and dwell there. And so that's what he did with us. He saved us, and now he wants us to live our lives the way he wants us to live our lives in peace and trusting in him. And so Moses here led the children out of Egypt, and now he's going to lead them to a place of blessing. And it was a place of blessing that Moses told this Hobab about. Moses invites Hobab to join them on their journey to that land that God had promised them. And again, it was a land of blessing. He wanted Hobab to go with him. In other words, he said, you know what? We're going to this place, and this place is going to be great. You need to go with us. And it was a place that was going to be Israel's. And if Hobab decided to go, then it would be his place too. Now, you say, well, is the land of Canaan good, or is it better than where we're going to go as Christians? Well, I want you to think about a few things. Now, if Hobab had went with the nation of Israel, I mean, he would have went to a fantastic place. Amen? I mean, the land of Canaan would have been just wonderful. But is it as good, is the land of Canaan as good as where we're going to go as Christians? Because after all, we're all heading to a place too that God has appointed for us. Amen? If you're saved here today, then your final destination will be heaven. It will be heaven. And so you had the children of Israel, they were heading toward a place, and they were God's children heading to a place. Today, if you're saved, then you're going to a place that God has appointed unto you. And so the question is which one's better? Well, that's easy, because if you think about it, even when God promised the promised land to Abraham, that land was still cursed, even back in the time of Moses, because the whole earth is cursed. So to a point, the land of Canaan was still cursed. I mean, in other words, what I'm trying to say is there were still weeds in the land of Canaan. Amen? I mean, you had that. Not only that, but there would also still be sin within the borders of the land of Canaan. There would still be death there. Even though the children of Israel were to come into the land of Canaan, you know, they were still going to die. Why? Because they still had a sin nature. The wage of sin was death, even then. And so even though they entered into the promised land, it isn't like a person entering into the promised land would not have to worry about dying ever again. Of course, he would still die. But if you look at the place that we're going to be going, it's much better than that. Because where we're going to be going is a city of peace and joy and sinless perfection. The place we're going is the abode of God. And that, if you think about that, I mean, you know, what we do is we set up our house the way we like it, and you set up your house the way you like it, and things just exactly the way you like them. Amen? Can you imagine going to God's house? And that's where you're living? I mean, that's where we're headed, folks. And it's a place where none of the problems and afflictions of earth can follow. It's a city of pure gold. And the street of that city is pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And it's a city that is promised to us. Jesus said this in John 14, 1 through 3. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's home. That's a place that's promised to every single Christian. That's a place that's promised to you. That's where you're going. Now, I'll tell you this. I hate moving. I can't stand it. I'd rather somebody slap me up beside the head with a rake than for me to move. I cannot stand moving at all. But I'll tell you this, I'm looking forward to that move. I'm looking forward to it. Because I tell you what, folks, when we get to heaven, I mean, nobody in heaven would even consider coming back here. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. So Moses had the privilege to say to Hobab, "Come with us, because where we're going, you've never seen anything like it. I mean, you're definitely going to want to come." So he says, "Come with us." By the way, that's our privilege as well. We have the honor of inviting those around us to come with us. I mean, after all, we know where we're going. And we know it's a whole lot better than here. And you know, your neighbor next door, or maybe the one across the street, or maybe a family member, they're just like Hobab. They're really not, I mean, they're not planning on being there. Some of them haven't even heard about it. But you know where you're going. The same way Moses knew where he was going, he'd say, "Wait a second, God gave us this land, and this land is a land flowing with milk and honey, and if God says it's good, it must be good if he says it's good, and that's where we're going to go." And so he said, "Hobab, why don't you come with us?" That's what we need to be telling our neighbors and those people that we're not sure if they're saved or not. Tell them, listen, we're going to a good place and you're going to want to come. When it's all over with, you know what? Describe it to them. Tell them how good it is. And tell them that God's promised it to you and that they should go. Amen? That's what we should be doing. We should be telling them about it. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we get in this mindset that the more people know about something and the more the word gets out about something, the less valuable it becomes. Well, sometimes we think that way. Fishermen and hunters feel that way because they think, well, once everybody figures out, you know, where all the big fish are or the deer are or the elk are, then the place is not as valuable anymore. Well, that's not the way it is with heaven, because if you think about it, the more people that know about heaven and the more people that go to heaven, the more valuable it becomes. The more valuable it becomes. So the more I share my faith and invite someone who does not know Jesus to come with us, I haven't given away anything I have. I haven't lost anything. In fact, I've increased the value because I've now laid up treasure in heaven by telling others. So salvation is the only thing I know of that gets more valuable the more you give it away. Salvation. While I'm on the subject, let me also say that inviting people to come with us is not only a great privilege, but it's an obligation. You see, we know where we're going. And that Bible tells us a little bit about where we're going. Now, it doesn't go in great detail. In fact, the Bible goes in a whole lot more detail about how this earth is going to be during the millennial reign of Christ than it actually gives on how heaven is going to be for us. But we do know somewhat about what heaven's going to be like. And you're responsible for what you know. What are you going to do with what you know? I mean, what a horrible thing it would be to keep that a secret. I mean, can you imagine if Moses, Hobab, there's Hobab. And obviously Hobab meant a lot to him. I mean, the Bible does say he was his father-in-law. I just gave away who I think it is, by the way. But anyway, you know, can you imagine how horrible that would be to say, you know, I really care about you, Hobab. Boy, you're a good father-in-law, man. I tell you what. But, hey, listen. And he'll say, where are you going? Well, I would tell you, but you know, we're going to keep it a secret. You just stay here. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? Well, think about how horrible it is for a Christian who's read that Bible to know good and well what heaven's going to be like and then not invite everybody to come along with us. I mean, if Moses really cared about Hobab, he would at least tell him where they're going to go and how good it was. And if you cared about people, you'd tell them how good heaven's going to be too. And so the invitation that Moses gave here involved going to a special place. The invitation also involved joining a special people. Look at verse 29 again. It says, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto a place which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And said unto him, I will not go. And so what Moses says here when he says, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel, you know, remember this, Hobab was not a part of that people, okay? He was a Midianite. He was not a part of the covenant of Israel, and he's not a part of the promises that God had made to Israel. In other words, he was cut off from all the blessings and the promises of God at this point. And the only way Hobab could get in on the promises of the children of Israel was by accepting Moses' invitation and becoming part of the children of Israel. So Moses had the privilege of inviting Hobab to join up with Israel and sharing their blessings that God was going to bless them with. And Moses invites them to join the family. Basically, he's saying, wait, listen, you need to be with us because God has spoken good about Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is God's chosen people. Now listen, Hobab, not only are we going to this place here, that the land flowing of milk and honey, not only are we going to go there, but listen, you need to be a part of us because God has blessed us as a nation. And if you want in on the blessings, you need to join us. You need to be a part of us. And so he gives him this invitation. Now, that's something else that this world needs to hear. You see, it's more than just saying, hey, listen, we're going to go to heaven. Why don't you go with us? You need to tell them that the only way they can go with us is to become a part of us. And you say, what does that mean? Well, listen, the moment you were saved, you became the children of God, the sons of God. Amen? So now, if you're saved here tonight, then you are a part of the family. And if you're a part of the family of God, if you're in the family of God tonight, then God's blessing is upon you. And you say, well, what blessing could possibly be upon me if I'm in the family of God? Well, if you go over in Romans chapter 1, it says that God's wrath is upon all unrighteousness. But you have put on the righteousness of Christ. So you're righteous in God's eyes. You're justified in God's eyes. And so now you're not going to have the wrath of God upon you as the children of disobedience. Now you have blessings upon you as the children of God. And so if a person today says, well, listen, I'd like to have God's blessings upon me. I would like to be, I would like to get the promises that God has given you. I mean, after all, God's promised, if you're witnessing somebody and that person tells you, well, God's promised you everlasting life and God's promised you that you're going to go to heaven. Well, what do I need to do? You could say, then you need to do what I did, receive Jesus Christ and become a son of God yourself and join the family, being born again. Amen. And so that's what we're to do. But a lot of people today think that it takes, salvation is observing rituals of a church or maybe through baptism or church membership. But salvation can only be found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have to be a member of the family in order to go to heaven. You must be born again spiritually, becoming a child of God in order to be saved. And the only way you can do that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And only as a family member are you entitled to all the rights and privileges of being a child of God. Only as a member of the family are you going to make it to heaven. The Bible says that the book of life is opened up. How many of you ever seen those Bibles that sometimes are big family Bibles, and at the very beginning of it, it tells you, this family, and it's given to you, and it prints. Some of them even come with family trees at the very front of it. I always sometimes imagine the book of life being like that. To when you open it up, it's like the family tree of God. And somewhere's down there on that tree, my name's written there. And somewhere's down there on that tree, your name's written there. But if you're not in a family, guess what? You're not on that tree, which means your name ain't in the book. Family members only. I'd say that membership has its privileges. Amen? Being a member of the family? Amen. I mean, that's how you get to heaven. Now, if Hobab wants to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, then he's going to have to go with Israel. He's going to have to join that people and become family. Moses was inviting Hobab to go with him, and he's telling him that he wouldn't regret it if he'd go. He was telling him that there would be many blessings if he went. He was telling him that, listen, when we get to our final destination, you're just absolutely going to love it. Plus, you get all of God's blessings. When you read back there in the Old Testament and you read some of the promises that God gave Israel, you can't deny if Israel had obeyed God, boy, they'd be in good shape, wouldn't they? I mean, there was one promise there that Stephen said they wouldn't even get sick. Can you imagine that? To be in a promised land and not even getting sick if you would just obey God? I'll tell you this, if we obey God, there's been a lot of promises made to us too, but we don't always obey God, do we? You know how much smoother life would go if we did obey God every day? I tell you, it would be wonderful. But he gave him this invitation, and he said he wouldn't regret it. He said that God's blessing would be upon him if he went. And not only that, when he gave him this invitation, it was to join a special people. It was to go to a special place. And then finally, this invitation that Moses gave Hobab also involved a great opportunity. Look at verse 31. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. Moses was telling Hobab that if he would come with him, he'd be used by God. And he'd become a part of what God was doing. You see, God had a plan of what he was going to do with Israel. And Hobab, if he just took this invitation to go with Israel, to go to that promised land, to be a part of a special people, if he would just do that, then what Moses is saying, listen, if you'll just come with us, You can be a part of God's plan. You can, God will use you to do his will if you'll just come with us. And so Moses made a wonderful offer to Hobab. And quite frankly, I'll tell you, when I was studying this thing out, and I'm thinking to myself, it's a no-brainer. I mean, why would you not go with them? Amen? I mean, they're going to the land of Canaan. He has the opportunity to have all the blessings of God and be a part of God's chosen people. And not only that, he has an opportunity to be a part of God's will and a part of God's plan to do what God wants to have done. What a great deal. And I'm thinking to myself, man, surely he would say yes. I mean, anybody would say yes to this. But I want you to look what happened. You say, how did he respond? Well, look at verse 30. It says, and he said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my own kindred. You know, the story would be great if Hobab had said, you know what, that sounds like a great deal. Okay, I'm in. But he didn't. He said no. You say, how in the world? I have no idea. I have no idea how he could say no. But he said no. So Moses pleads with his brother-in-law in verse 31, or with his father-in-law in verse 31. Now see, I'm trying to cause division amongst the church right there. He says in verse 31, he said, leave us not, I pray thee. But in spite of all of Moses' pleading, it would seem that Hobab was firm in his decision not to go. Hobab was invited to go with him, but he turned down the offer. Now, what did his rejection mean? Well, I will tell you that there are some places in the Bible. I think one is in the book of Judges, and there's another one somewhere else I found. I didn't write it down. But there seems to be some indication that later on, Hobab might have come back and either visited the children of Israel, but we're not told if it was permanent or not. But at this point, he says no. And so what did this rejection mean? Well, it meant that, number one, he wasn't really just rejecting Moses. He was rejecting God. When Hobab said he would return to his own land and kindred, he was rejecting the God of Moses. Because in verse 29, it says that Hobab was a Midianite. And he had no doubt seen the idolatry and paganism amongst the Midianites. I mean, if you read about the Midianites in the Old Testament, they were not a good people. In fact, Israel fought against the Midianites. Hobab was no doubt entrenched in false religion and worship of false gods in Midian. When Hobab said he was going to go back to his land and kindred, what he was saying was that he was going to go back to his own religion, to his own false gods, and to go with Moses was to follow the God of Israel. But to go back was return to his old life. So really, he wasn't saying so much no to Moses. He was saying no to God. Because think about this, if he goes with the children of Israel, then God would be his God and they would be his people. But he said no. In other words, I don't want to be a part of being of God's people. I want to go back where I was. You know, day after day when we're witnessing and services after services, people are invited to go to heaven with us. Because every time that we give the gospel to somebody, that's what we're doing, is we're inviting them to go with us to heaven. And time after time, we see people turn that offer down. But I don't want you to get discouraged, folks, because every time when you witness to somebody and that person rejects the offer that you make them, they are not rejecting you. Why? It's not your offer. How many of you understand that? When you say, if we say the wage of sin is death, and we tell them that we've all sinned, well, the wage of sin is death, and tell them that we've all sinned, and then we show them that God has offered a way for us to be justified of those sins, for those sins to be forgiven, so that a person could go to heaven rather than going to hell. When we witness to somebody like that and we tell them, listen, we're going to heaven because we received Jesus Christ. You need to go with us. And they say, well, how do you go? How do I go? And you say, well, you've got to receive Jesus Christ and believe he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And you've got to call upon him for salvation. And that person looks at you and says, not today. It was never your gospel that they turned down. It's not you they're rejecting. It's God they're rejecting and God's gospel they're rejecting. And they're rejecting Jesus Christ. You're just, really, honestly, folks, we're just the middleman here. That's all we are. We're just the one that gives the news. But it's not our salvation we're offering to anybody. It's God's salvation. So anytime that somebody, and believe me, when you go out and witness somebody, more times than none, they're going to reject you. They're going to reject the message that you're preaching. But they're not rejecting you. So don't let it be personal. Don't get all depressed. Don't get all down because he's like, well, every time I go out, they always say no. They always not going to get saved. Has nothing to do with you. They're rejecting Jesus Christ and rejecting his offer. And that's what Hobab did here. Even though Moses made the offer, you know, to be a part of the children of Israel, to go to that land of Canaan, that was all God. And so when he turned down the offer that Moses gave, he really wasn't turning down Moses. He was turning down God. And so because of that, he was not going to be part of the children of Israel. Now, there's another thing that happened because he rejected his offer. Not only was he rejecting God, but now he would be facing the judgment of God. Now, the subsequent history of the Midianites, if you read in the Old Testament, it was not good. In fact, it was terrible. We read in Numbers 31 that their sins were so horrible that God could not even tolerate their existence. As we read of a great slaughter, in fact, only the virgins were spared there in Midian. Not only was the invitation of Moses an offer to go to Canaan, but also it turned out to be an offer to escape the judgment of God. Because after all, God's judgment is upon all unrighteousness. May I tell you that the nations of this world has got it coming, folks. But Israel's not is not numbered amongst the nations. And one of these days, we know that this world is going to burn up. But if you're in the family, you get to go to heaven, and you get to go to the new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem. You see, that's all ours. And so when everybody else on this earth burned up and everything else on this earth burns up, the only people that will be left in the end, you know who it's going to be? The children of God. That's all that's going to be left. There's not going to be anybody else left, and it's going to be God and his people forever and ever and ever and ever. And so if a person today turns down the offer that you're giving, the offer of salvation, the gospel of that God has given for us to give to other people, if people turn that gospel down and they reject the gospel that you're preaching to them, may I tell you, number one, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. And number two is what they're doing is they're giving up everlasting life for the judgment of God. That's what they're doing. And that's their choice. And what we do, we should do the same thing that Moses did. We should plead with them. We should pray for them. We should witness to them again. Keep asking. Keep showing them, hey, listen, if you don't join us, we're on the winning side. And say, if you don't join us, if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you need to know what's going to happen to you. Remember this, folks, in every one of those invitations so far that we've looked at, if you take God up on his offer, then you get great blessings. Question. If Hobab had taken up Moses on that offer, do you think they'd have been blessed? You think he'd have been blessed? Beyond measure. I mean, think about it. Be a part of the people of God, going into the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. What a great thing. But if he rejected it, and you read the history of the Midianites, it meant the judgment of God. So again, there's consequences if a person turns down God's invitation. And it's the same way when you go out and you invite them to go to heaven with us, and you go out and you tell them that you've got to be a part of us, you've got to receive Jesus Christ, become a child of God, and in order to get the blessings, and they turn that down, you're obligated to tell them, now listen, if you turn this invitation down, here's the consequences. Don't be afraid to tell them that, folks. I had a preacher years ago who told me that if you ever want to really get a hold of somebody's attention, start talking about the great white throne or the judgment seat of Christ. Because that'll always kind of get their attention back. When nothing else seems to work, that'll do it. And I found that to be true. I remember one time I went to a youth camp, and a preacher's name was Bill Marshall. He was preaching at a youth camp, and he started preaching, I mean, for 2 or 3 days. I mean, it seemed like we got no reaction at all. I mean, it was preaching, there's a bunch of kids there, no reaction. And then finally on that fourth night, he just broke out the great white throne of judgment. You know what I saw? Bunches coming down there. People getting saved, people getting right with the Lord. Why? People have this thing about that great white throne of judgment. Why? Because deep down, everybody knows they're going to answer to God one of these days. Why do you think there are people out there saying there is no God? Well, yeah, they're fools, but what they're doing is they're trying to take their head and bury it in the sand, thinking that if I just say there is no God, then obviously I don't have to answer to God. Well, yeah, you do. It doesn't matter if you think there's a God or not. We're all going to stand before the throne of glory one of these days. Everybody is. And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Amen? And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with telling them, hey, listen, if here's a great deal. You can be saved. You can have everlasting life. You can join the family and you can go where we're going. And we're going to heaven one of these days. And you can go there too. And it goes, well, I don't know. Okay, well, here's the other option. If you don't go with us, the Bible says that God's judgment and wrath is upon all unrighteousness. And guess what? Your righteousness is as filthy rags. And you know where you're going to go? Not where we're going. You're going to go to hell instead. But the invitation's still there. Isn't God gracious to give an invitation like that? I mean, if you think about it, Hobab didn't deserve anything. I mean, after all, he was not a Jew. But he still got the invitation to go with him and become one and get on the promises of him and go to this place they're going. And think about this. We didn't deserve anything from the Lord. But God gave us an invitation to be his people. He gave us an invitation to join the family and go be with him forever in the abode of God. Wow. Can you imagine that? And he said, why don't you just come and live with me forever? I'm glad that I said yes to that invitation. And I know where I'm going to be. And I don't know how long it's going to take me to get there. Hopefully sooner than later. But I know where I'm going to be one of these days. And if you're saved, I know where you're going to be one of these days too. Go tell others to join us. Because I'll tell you this. The more people we can get to join us, the sweeter it's going to be. The sweeter it's going to be. All right, let's go ahead and stop there tonight.